24 cases in the country, but we know what chaos this has caused around the world. And you may have been listening to Bruce yesterday as he brought you those various market updates over the course of the afternoon, in which he spoke about the bloodbath on the JSE yesterday. And looking at how Fin24 has framed this, very interesting indeed. It quotes the investment platform Timbuk1 as saying the JSE's all-share index has just had 3 days in the past 40 years that were worse than yesterday. In 1987, 1997 and 1989, the JSE's all-share index closed 9.7% lower yesterday afternoon, and now the market's lost more than a fifth of its value so far this year. So it's been a very, very difficult few days for the JSE. Jean-Pierre Verster is the CEO of Protea Capital Management, and Jean-Pierre, thank you very much for joining us this afternoon to talk us very simply through what can be quite a mind-boggling set of figures for the average person. Give us a sense of what really happened on the stock exchange yesterday.
Hi, Joanne. Yes, yesterday it was all red on the screen. So I think it was a day of high emotion, a lot of fear grappling participants in the market. And remember, you have two types of participants. You have traders and you have investors. And traders look in the short term to buy and sell shares and sell them for a higher price at which they bought them, while investors look over the long term to the prospects of companies and decide what shares to buy and hold for the long term. But on a day like yesterday, both traders and investors were filled with fear, mostly because of coronavirus and the collapsing oil price, and therefore there was indiscriminate selling. Now, today is slightly better. We are seeing the JSE higher by about 2.5%. So we haven't made up all the losses, but at least there's a bit more calm and a bit more optimism today versus yesterday.
Well, that's good to hear. It certainly is. But we're looking at some of the big countries, the most developed countries in the world, being severely affected by the outbreak of coronavirus. We see that Wall Street fell really far, quite fast yesterday. We saw that European stocks were down. The Brazilian stock market lost a third of its value this week as well. I mean, even though that's a developing country. Tell me, in the long term, what sort of effect can we expect to feel as a result of these other markets being so badly affected?
That is a key question, because I think what people are grappling with is certainly in the short term, there will be a severely negative impact. We just need to look at what happened in China and what's currently happening in Italy regarding quarantine and a forced shutdown of those economies. It means there's very little economic activity, and that is very bad, obviously, for companies and all kinds of businesses. The question is, for how long will this be? And it seems like the sooner the countries have some time of a quarantine, the shorter the period is, and the more manageable the problem is. But the longer they wait, the bigger the problem is. And the key market in this regard is the U.S. And the longer the U.S. waits before implementing some kind of quarantine or travel shutdown — they've partially implemented travel from Europe, but not wider than that — that will be the key question, whether this will be a short-term impact or whether there'll be longer-term impacts. Now, when I say longer-term, it might be a number of months, but if we can put ourselves a year or three from now, surely by that time there would have been a vaccine for the coronavirus and things will be much more closer than being back to normal. And if that is the case, then sell-offs like that happened yesterday might be bad for traders that try to buy and sell shares all the time, but it's actually a great opportunity for investors to buy shares that have fallen a lot, that are still good value, and hold them for the long term. That won't be the case for all companies' shares. Some shares are really worth a lot less because of, for instance, the much lower oil price. A company like Sasol comes to mind.
Exactly.
But for most companies, a day like yesterday is a buying opportunity rather than a selling opportunity.
Right. So let's look at that Sasol slump. I mean, it slumped so sharply. I think not just yesterday, but we've seen the company lose value since April last year. Tell me, what was behind what happened with Sasol shares yesterday?
Well, it's a perfect storm for Sasol, unfortunately. You might remember that a number of years ago, they announced that they're going to build a huge plant in the U.S. in Louisiana, called the LCCP, and that plant would have cost them $6 billion, but because of overruns, it effectively cost them $12 billion. And they needed to borrow money to construct that plant. That plant is now in ramp-up phase, but it's not quite at the point where it's starting to generate a lot of cash. So Sasol at the moment is in a time, what they call themselves, peak gearing. which means they have the most debt relative to the cash that they generate right now than they would have had at any point in the history. To complicate matters further, this past weekend, there was a bit of a tussle between Saudi Arabia and Russia in an OPEC meeting, which led to Saudi Arabia saying that they are going to effectively increase the supply of oil at a time when there's a decrease in demand of oil because of these travel restrictions, so less aircraft, for instance, using fuel. And that meant that the oil price collapsed. So the collapse of the oil price, which is the product that Sasol sells, at the same time as when Sasol was at peak gearing, means it's a perfect storm because Sasol is now making a lot less money because the cost, or the price rather, of the product that they sell, being oil or petrol, is almost half what it was last week, but the debt is very high. And that is why the share price of Sasol collapsed yesterday, because effectively the company has got too much debt and they won't be able to service that debt with oil prices where they are currently. The company announced yesterday they're looking at a rights issue, which means they will ask the shareholders to put more money into the company, and they will use that money to pay off some of the debt. But it is a precarious situation that Sasol is in at the moment.
Intriguing. I want to ask you about the fact that China, we know, is a major trading partner for us. And, you know, they seem to have been through the worst of the coronavirus, and they seem to be emerging from it now. So we remain hopeful that things will stay on track. But at some point or another, surely we are going to feel the effects of that initial shutdown.
Yes, and I think what China did well is they had a shutdown relatively early. Some say it could have been even earlier. But that means that we are now already seeing a lifting of a lot of the areas where there was a shutdown, and even some of the hospitals in Wuhan that they built within a number of days are being closed again because most people have recovered. So what that means is there was a short, sharp impact in supply chains. And we would have felt that in South Africa because a lot of the products that we import come from China, whether it's clothing or general merchandise. And for a number of weeks, it would have been very difficult to import those products. That should be back to normal now. So hopefully we won't really feel the impact of shortages that happened in the last few weeks, but companies could use the inventory they had built up before to still supply the market. On the other hand, South Africa also exports to China. And for a while, especially the commodities like iron ore and coal that we have been exporting to China was sitting in the ports in China because no one there was actually working to unload the coal or iron ore onto the Chinese ports. That also sounds like it has normalized now. So hopefully we are past the worst of the Chinese situation, and that's why the focus has now shifted from China more towards Europe and the US. And Europe is also a very important trading partner to South Africa. So both in terms of goods, but also in terms of travel of people, there might still be an impact, not so much from China, but more from Europe and the US going forward.
Jean-Pierre Verstappen, thank you so much for explaining that so simply to us. He's the CEO of Protea Capital Management.